You know, it's interesting. When I received my call to ministry, the Lord took me to a passage where Paul, the apostle, had an encounter with Christ. He was given his testimony of that encounter to King Agrippa. And I'll never forget, I'd just gotten saved, born again, right? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, having accepted the message that Christ had come and died on the cross for me. And as a result of that, I found myself reading the Bible and praying, and I went to a men's prayer group. Speaking of that, Saturday the 26th is a men's breakfast. It's going to be right here. It will be catered in from, I think it's Golden Corral. We're going to bring some eggs and bacon, and all you got to do is bring yourself to that event, and there's a flyer on your seat. So 26th of September, be here. It's going to be a great time with the men of the church. But I remember distinctly I was at a men's prayer time at the church, and we gathered. I was at the altar with my Bible, my new King James Version, which they told me that's the version you need to memorize. And so that's why I'll preach from many different translations that are on your handout there. But when I start quoting Scripture, it'll come out in King James. Sometimes when I'm reading Scripture in my mind, it's in King James, and I start to get tongue-tied because I want to say it in King James, but I want to use the other translations because they really bear out some great understanding in the Word of God. But I remember that distinctly, being at the altar and the Lord telling me to turn. This is the thing about hearing the voice of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Say proceeding, proceeding. It's a proceeding word. God speaks something from his word over your life. He gives you a revelation. Not just logos, not just the written word, not just knowledge, but revelation knowledge. Something that the Spirit of God breathes on and speaks into your own spirit. And Paul the Apostle was given his testimony to King Agrippa. And he talks about being faithful to the heavenly vision. But what he refers to is how the passage, God says, turn to Acts 26. At that point in my walk with Christ, I didn't even know there was an Acts 26. And I'm like, well, and I didn't know where Acts was. And how many of you ever started off and you went to the index to find out, okay, where is there? Yeah, there's a book. It's called Acts. And then is there 26 chapters? I have no idea. And I'm flipping and I get to Acts 26. I'm like, yeah, there's an Acts 26 in there. And I just start reading it. And it gets down in that passage in it, and it's where he testifies of Jesus appearing to him. And he says, Jesus says this to Paul, I've come unto you to make you a minister, to turn you from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. He says, to deliver you from the Gentiles to whom now I send you, right, to proclaim the gospel and that they would be delivered from the power of Satan to the power of God and from darkness to light. And I'm reading that passage, and I'll never forget. It was like the words jumped off the page and grabbed me, my heart. It resonated. Say resonate. There's times where you're reading the word and you're gaining knowledge, and there's times where it resonates in you and God is saying something specific to you for your life. And I went home, being a new Christian, my wife had grown up in church. I went to church as a kid, but it wasn't like where my wife grew up, where it was teaching the word of God, you know, on a deeper level. Long story short, I remember saying to her, honey, I think I'm going to be a minister, a pastor. She goes, what? Why? And I'm like, well, because God spoke to me at this prayer gathering with the men, and I believe he told me I'm going to be a minister. And she said, oh, honey, all new Christians think that. And I said, oh, okay. I had no idea. Her mom had told her, never marry a pastor. You'll be dirt poor the rest of your life. So she didn't want to marry a pastor. And when we met, I was in the military. I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a minister. And how many know that's not true? Right? God doesn't want any of his children to be dirt poor. Come on, somebody. Now, it doesn't mean that some of them aren't in that place, but God doesn't want them to be there. In Christ, we are rich. It's not the physical as much as it is the spiritual richness that we have in Christ. Amen? But God says that all his promises are to us are yes and amen. They're not no. They're yes and amen. So you can trust that God will take care of you. He'll meet your needs and exceed that. not for selfish gain, but to be a witness and to share and bless others. Amen. And so I remember distinctly the Lord speaking into my life, and I said that to my wife. And so I kind of, after she said that, laid it all back down and said, well, you know, I guess I'm not going to be a minister, you know, if all new Christians think that, so on and so forth. 2 weeks later, say preceding word. 2 weeks later, we're in a meeting, and in that meeting, there was this guy minister, and we got invited. It was a guest speaker, and it wasn't a church I attended. It was at another church, and they had a guest speaker in, and he was a prophet, if you will. God used him in the prophetic. And I'm sitting beside Angie. I've never met this guy. He's never met us. He's a stranger to us. And he preached, you know, the worship happened. He preaches. And at the end, there was a point where he said, you know, I just really feel like the Lord has a word for some people in here. I'd never seen anything like that as well. And so I'm sitting there, and he said, would the lady in pink please stand up? My wife was the only one in the room wearing pink. And she stood up. And I'm kind of like, what's going on? Y'all ever been there in your Christian walk and go to church somewhere and something happens? You're like, what is this all about? And I was there. I was like, what's this all about? And he said, you married? She said, yes. Your husband here? Yes. Husband, would you stand up? And I it was one of those, right, where you're sitting there and you know it's you, but you're going, I don't even know what's going on, so I don't know if I want to consent to this. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we hold back from things the Lord might do because they're otherworldly. They're supernatural. There's something going on that you don't understand. And there's an element, as long as it lines up with the Word of God, there's nothing to fear. So that's why you need to know the Word of God. And so anyway, I slowly stand up and he says, God wants to say to you, yes, he has called you to the ministry. I look at Angie like, what in the world? And she went. And it was a powerful moment in my life that began a journey of studying the Word of God and preparing. And I'll never forget when God opened doors for me to begin to lead others to Christ. You know, I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't what they would term as a minister. I want to say this to you. In reality, all Christians are called to ministry. I don't think you heard me. All Christians are called to ministry. You know, the position or the office of pastor or whatever it may be, that is to equip you for the work of the ministry. How can you be equipped for something if you're not called to it? Everyone's called to the work of the ministry, amen? And so I share that in context to our message series called Tame, how important it is to control your tongue. What are the words that are flowing out of your mouth? What are you speaking? Are you speaking God's word into your own life? You know, I talked about self-talk. And I talked about what we speak to others. And it's so, so important for us to the meditation of my heart, and let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. Well, let me say, according to God's will, when we speak according to God's will in our life and in the life of others, you don't have to worry about whether or not it's pleasing to God. Amen. And so we've got to make sure that we tame our tongue to be conditioned to speak what God would speak into our life and in the lives of those around us. Why? Because our words have power. And that's what I want to emphasize today, is the power of words. The power of words. There is power in the words that we speak. Proverbs 18:20 through 21 says, Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, let me say this. Every time I prepare to speak to you, there's one thing that crosses my mind. Last week, we used the passage of James in James 3. And actually, the first part of that talks about that not many of us ought to be teachers among the body of Christ. Because to stand here and to equip you, to teach the word of God to you, to direct you into the things of God, and hopefully the number one thing you'll realize is you don't have need of me to teach you because you have the Holy Spirit to teach you. Come on. You don't have, the Bible says you have don't have a need for anyone else to teach you because you have the Holy Spirit. So why do we do this? Because Jesus, when he established his church, he knew that there will be those that need to hear from those who are following the Spirit, who are listening to the Spirit, who are teaching the Word of God to help people get to the place of where they don't need somebody else to teach them. Now, I've spent much of my life, now again, I will say this, studying the Word of God, listening to other preachers, going to training, going to seminars, whatever, being taught what I don't know, listening to somebody who would help me move to a place of where I could go deeper with God and have greater understanding of how to listen to His Spirit and be taught by Him. Now, there's an element of that when we're babes in Christ, the Bible talks about that we give the babes in the body of Christ. Those who are born again, they're new to Christianity, you give them what's called the sincere milk of the Word. You know, Jesus loves you. He died for your sins. It's not by your works that you're saved, but by His work that you're saved. All you have to do is believe in Him. That's why Jesus said that unless you become like a child, that you have childlike faith and believe in Him, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The simplicity of the gospel is that it's open to everyone, from the oldest all the way down to the youngest. There is no limitation to those who can come to Christ. Why? Because it's not based on knowledge. Come on now. It's based on faith. It's based on faith that Jesus died for you and that you can access everything that He has for you. Now, once we begin that journey, there's a growing up that needs to take place. Amen. We work out the salvation that we receive freely. We work that salvation out by studying the Word of God, applying what it says, not in our own strength, but with the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit working within us to live that out. Amen? And so it's understanding that we need to pursue the wisdom of words. Where are we going to find wisdom concerning our words? From God's Word. His Word is the greatest place to access wisdom. I'm going to give you a little more detail concerning the power of your words. Our words create a life or death environment. Our words create a life or death environment. A formidable power dwells within each of us. This power has changed the course of the world. The Bible says that the early disciples turned the known world upside down. How did they do that? With the words of the gospel is how they turned the known world upside down. It is capable of starting and ending wars. Starting and ending wars. I love it. There was a phrase I heard in a movie one time. We don't make peace with our friends. We make peace with our enemies. And you know what? While weapons may bring it to a certain point, how many of you know they call it peace talks, right? They come and sit down together to exchange words to see if they can come to a place of peace so they don't continue at war. Amen. And so words can end wars. I certainly know that words can end wars in marriage. They can end wars in families. They can end wars, with friends, with work colleagues, right? Remember last week I said a gentle answer, the Bible says, turns away wrath. That we need to know how to respond to people, especially when they're feeling insecurity or accusation from us. Can we change the words that we use so that it might create a godly environment? God greatly desires for us to use this power to bring glory to His name. It's not just about us, it's about bringing glory to God's name, to advance His kingdom here in the earth. He wants to speak with love, to declare truth boldly. But make no mistake about it, Satan has plans for our words as well. He wants to influence us as much as God does, maybe more. He's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And how does he devour us? To tempt, to draw us into ways of thinking that separate us from God. Sin, to draw us into ways of sin, because sin separates us from God. But thanks be to Christ, right? Right? That by His grace, we're able to go to the throne of God. Come boldly before His throne of grace that you might obtain mercy. That we can obtain the mercy we need because God has given us grace. Amen. And so concerning the power of words, we need to know that the devil wants to entice us to bring hurt rather than hope. That is why we are to be cautious concerning the words that we speak. But that is not the easiest thing to do, is it now? Huh? It's not real easy to do. I want you to take a moment, close your eyes. I really want to see this put to action. Close your eyes. They're at home watching online. Close your eyes for a minute. I want you to think of someone that you've exchanged words with that were not holy. They were not uplifting. They were not, honoring. And it tore them down. You knew it was tearing them down. I want you to picture that. And then I want you to picture yourself, if you will, taking that and laying at the feet of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about how you can extend to them a request of forgiveness for what you've said. Now, vice versa, picture someone who said something to you and that it was hurtful. And I want you to picture yourself forgiving them. Now, maybe they don't come to you. Here's the beauty of it. While we were yet still sinners, God gave his son to die on the cross. That was because of his love. It's an opportunity for us to exhibit the love of Christ and to extend forgiveness to that person. Now, what may happen is they may notice a difference in you that you don't walk offended or angry towards them. And it's kind of like, how did that happen? Now, look up here. I ask you this week that you would take seriously to find a person that you can forgive. And if somebody has something against you, they've said something against you, find a way for that to be released in your life. Give it to God and then watch him work in that situation. For some of you, that may be your marriage. For some of you, it may be members of your family. For some, it's friends and others. It may be work colleagues. But I tell you that if you'll put it into practice, what will happen is if you tame your tongue and speak God's word, speak God's way into someone in your life, I promise you it'll bring the fruit. That's what this passage is saying. They that love to talk will reap the consequences. Turn the consequences by speaking differently to your situation. Amen? So moving on, so we're to be cautious concerning the words that we speak. That's not an easy thing to do. In addition, the verse above, which reminds us that our words hold power. Another verse is, area of scripture is Mark 11, 11, 22 through, gosh, man, I'm tongue-tied. Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Do you believe that today? Do you believe that if you go into prayer and you ask God for something to work in your life in an area, do you believe, just like you could look at Pike's Peak and say, "I command you to be cast into the sea"? Come on now. That kind of faith, I mean, that's some huge faith, right? But let me say this. I think that oftentimes our relationship can have mountains of distress and offense, that those things that grow into a mountain can be harder because our emotion. Say it this way, soul. Say soul. My soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. What I think, the way I think about something, this is why if he doesn't doubt in his heart, do you believe that Jesus wants to work in your life and remove a mountain in your life? If you believe that, then what happens is that's where you start to tackle the mental, right? The mind. You renew your mind to think the way that Jesus thinks about situations. I want you to know it was a mountain of sin that Jesus tackled on the cross. And he believed the Father, even though he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass. Let this pass from me. To do it this way, Lord, let it pass from me." So understand that it's not just asking God, but it's asking, if you go and you read more in this passage of Scripture, it's asking according to His will. That when we ask anything, right, according to His will, it shall be done. So to have faith in the way God wants you to do something matters as much as the something you would like to see removed. See, so Jesus, here He is praying, but the way for the mountain of sin to be removed, and if you will, watch, cast as far as the east is from the west. Come on now. Do you know the Bible says that God casts our sin? Do you know that there's a sea of forgetfulness? Come on, somebody. The Bible talks about a sea of forgetfulness. God casts the mountain of sin into the sea of forgetfulness. The Bible says He remembers our sin no more. I mean, how powerful is that? If we ask according to His will, we can say to whatever that mountain is, whatever that circumstance is, take this and cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. I don't want this to be in my life anymore. Can I get an amen in the house of the Lord this morning? So believe in your heart. That is why we must surrender our whole selves to Christ. And remember that when we call Him Lord, that makes Him our master. Not a real acceptable term to think of somebody as your master. But Jesus is our master. When we come to Him and we give our life to Him, He's our master. But understand, He's a good master. Amen? We become slave servants to Him in His kingdom. And that doesn't set well with us as human beings. I don't want to be anybody's servant. Come on now. Are you with me this morning? Maybe you folks online are laughing in your home and enjoying the. Are you with me this morning? None of us want to be a servant to anyone else. Can I get an amen? We know it's true. I don't want to be anybody's servant. But I'll tell you, when I got married, I found out, you know, this thing, it doesn't work well doing it the way I used to by myself. Come on, somebody. All right? I serve Angie. She serves me. Sometimes I don't serve her. Sometimes she doesn't serve me. Right? It's like, hey, babe, would you? It's like, I'm as tired as you are. Come on now. It's like, hey, babe, would you grab me a Coke? Why don't you grab me one? I worked all week too. Come on. Right? We got to choose to do what is right within our relationships, to serve others as unto the Lord. Why? Because He's our master, and that's what He's asked us to do. Amen? So, the power of your words, understanding the power of your words. Our scripture again, let me read it. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. You ever had a good meal? Come on, you ever had a good steak just, you know, worked up on the grill? Give me a shout. What's some of your favorite restaurants? Where? The House. Yes, that's great. It's one of my favorite restaurants too. Give me a favorite restaurant. Those of you online, just comment in the section there and put your favorite restaurant on there where you like to go eat. Somebody give me a shout. What's your favorite restaurant? Huh? Bourbon Brothers. Tecanos. Oh, Tecanos, man. You just eat and eat. You get the meat sweats there, man. Come on, somebody else. Jeff Ruby's? Oh, yeah, that's a good restaurant for sure. They don't have them out here, I don't think. Yeah. All right, so here's the thing, right? You think of your favorite restaurant, you know, that steak or that pork chop or that chicken that you like cooked up a certain way. Think of your favorite meals at home. That's what words are like. And you know the taste of it. When someone speaks something to you, you know whether it tastes good or not. Can I get an amen? You know if those words taste good. And I want you to understand this. There's not a meal that's been prepared. Now, you can have, you know, you develop your palate by what you eat. Huh? Did you know that? How many of you like green beans? Broccoli. Brussels sprouts. Oh, wow. Asparagus. Okay. How many of you like spaghetti squash? All right. We got some vegetable lovers in here. Some of you haven't raised your hand for one veggie. I got to tell you, there's some veggies in the Word of God, man. You get to eat going along and you're like, oh, I don't like that one. But that one's just as important. And there's nothing in the Word of God that doesn't taste good. If it doesn't, you might want to check something. If you belong to Him, His Word is going to taste good. Well, it just feels like it's judging me. That's something I bring up a lot. Because this generation likes to throw out, you're judging me. And I want to tell you this, I want to be judged. I want to be judged by the Word of God first, and I want to be judged by fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And you want to know something? Much of the judgment that the world has for the church is a result of the church not living, that their words, what they say, doesn't match what they do. Come on now. When that happens, it just doesn't taste right. Anybody ever poured a glass of milk before you check the expiration date on it? And take a sip of that and you're like, oh Lord, and you go straight to the sink and spit it out. Sometimes that's what it's like for the world. If they taste the church, if they taste our message, and it doesn't taste like good news, even though it may point out some things that are going to have to change, if it doesn't taste like good news to them, then maybe it's soured just a little and we need to work on our message, amen? The last message of this series, I'm going to drill down on our message. Let me move along here. So Proverbs has a lot to say about what we say. In fact, the subject of the tongue and how we use words is perhaps the preeminent theme in the book of Proverbs. 150 times Proverbs refers to lips, our mouth, our tongue, and our tongue. One of the central issues of the book of Proverbs is how you use your tongue. I would say that it points out the importance of taming your tongue. So I think it would do well for us to remember what I shared last week from the book of James. In James 3:9, it says this, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness." That's the anything we speak, we need to really filter. Would God say this to somebody? Would he say this way to somebody? And that question, or those two questions, if you will help us to tame our tongue. Words are important. After all, God created the universe. He created the universe by words. Let there be light, and there was light. Let the firmament appear, and it did. Everything he created was by his word. John 1:1 says it this way, "In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the living Word. Following him, following Christ, will help us to tame our tongue and speak the words that he would speak. Let me give you two important reasons why we need to tame our tongue. One, because of the amount of words we use. Because of the amount of words that we use. Proverbs 17:27 says, "A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered." How many of you ever use the wrong words, or you use words that it's kind of like when you're thinking about having a conversation with somebody and it goes off the rails? How many of you have ever had a conversation with your spouse that went off the rails? Right? With your kids that went off the rails. With your parents that went off the rails. With your boss that went off the rails. Come on now. Oh, see, you all don't want to say amen to that one, right? Those conversations, we would be wise to take care what we speak and let our words be few and be even tempered in what we say, amen? Because sometimes we can say too much. You know, I can tell you the worst response I ever got out of Angie was pressuring her to talk to me. I cornered her. You know, it's like, no, we're talking about this. I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about it now. So you got people in a marriage, right? They're the ones that talk a lot more, and they're a little more control. I'm more controlling. Who's my controllers? Raise them high. Don't be shy, you know, right? Who likes to control the situation, right? And then you got those that, I'll say it this way, you know, they stiff arm, or it's like talking to a wall. They don't say anything. And so those two things tend to lead to conflict. And in that conflict, talkers or controllers will actually talk more, which only causes the other person to be more quiet. Neither one of them are right. You know, somehow you got to achieve communication. But this one particular time, I went too far to just block her. You know, you can't keep somebody from leaving. It's like kidnapping them. Did you know that? I did not know that. So I didn't touch her. It was just like, no, we're talking about this right now. She goes, I don't know what I think about that. I'm like, well, you need to think. What are you thinking? I'm not thinking anything. How can that be? I don't understand that way because I think all the time. And so we're going at it. And all of a sudden, she's kind of like, get out of my way. I mean, let's put it this way. I'd never seen my wife that angry. And get out of my way now. I can't even do it justice. And all I know is she said, get out of my way right now. And I'm like, and on she went. And what I knew is I'd gone too far. So I had to choose the right words to come back and apologize and to make a change. To make a change of how I was going to use my words by talking to her on an issue. How can we get to a conclusion if you don't talk and I talk too much? Give me 24 hours. When we have a situation like that, give me 24 hours, Derek. Let me think about it and then we'll come back and talk. See, that's an agreement that I could do, right? And then we both come back and we sit down and we talk through the situation, right? There's a difference in talking to one another and talking at one another. Amen? Okay, so because of the amount of words we use, Proverbs 29:20 says, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Don't be hasty in what you say. Don't just pop off something at people that are in your life. Because you more than likely you're going to say something you shouldn't, and there's more hope for a fool than there is for you. Tame your tongue. Do you have any idea how many words that you use in an ordinary day? Let me give it to you this way to illustrate. Tom Clancy, how many of you ever read a Tom Clancy book? How many of you ever seen a Tom Clancy movie? Hunt for Red October, right? Clear and Present Danger, you know, movies like that, right? Well, listen to this. His works are always, of course, they're real thick. You could use them as doorstops if you wanted to. But in his works, there's somewhere between 500,000, 750,000 words in the average Tom Clancy novel. 500,000 and 750,000 words. How long would it take you to say as many words as he writes in one of his books? According to researchers, each person here will open his mouth an average 700 times in a day. In those 700 times, you will use an average of 18,000 words. Those 18,000 words would translate to about 54 pages. That means in 1 year, an average person would fill 66 books of 800 pages each. Every year you write with your words 66 volumes that are larger than the Tom Clancy novels. Now, I know some of you are in here thinking, no, I'm much quieter than that. So one compensates the other way and has even more, way more than Tom Clancy, and maybe you fall just under, but you're somewhere in that range. Jesus, it's no wonder he said, by your words, you're justified or you're condemned. It's no wonder that the fastest growing segment of media is talk radio. People listen to words. People speak words. But what is it they're saying? What is it that you're hearing? This is why last week I pointed out that it's so important for us to pause. This is the scripture that I shared with you, James 1:19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. The second thing that we need to do to tame our tongue. Because of the amazing power of our words. It's because of the amazing power of our words that we need to tame our tongue. There's an old phrase. Let's see if you guys can get this. Mama always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, right? I know, cliche, but it stuck around for a reason. Mama always said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That's actually good advice. And Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. I think Mama might have been right. Right? Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. I think that's what Mama was pointing to. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Why? Because if you say something you shouldn't say, you're going to get in trouble. So Proverbs is right there. Mama had it right because the scriptures teach us the same thing. Amen? So think of what the few words, right, to put together. If you think about how few words have been put together to convey a message that is stuck around, let me give you a few more statements. Mr. Watson, come here. I want you. Were the first words spoken over the telephone. First words over the telephone. What hath God wrought? Can anybody say where that came from? What hath God wrought? What had God done? Were the first words sent by Morse code over the telegraph wire. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Isn't that right? Who said that? Neil Armstrong, 25 years ago, and those words are still around. Ask not what your country can do for you. Instead, ask what you can do for your country. Anybody? Who said that? That's how words can stick around. I know that growing up as a kid, there was times my, stepdad, teachers, whatever it be. I know my brother and I missed 60-some days of school one year. Growing up on the farm, it's like harvest time, planting time, whatever else time you're out there. And I don't know where the truant officer was, but it wasn't happening. You get what I'm saying? We were worked on the farm pretty hard. So it was quite a challenge for me to bridge the gap of what I missed in my education, and land on my feet in life. Can y'all get where I'm coming from? And so I think back, and the words that really kind of rung in my ears was, you'll never be anything, you're never going to make it, you better pick up a shovel, which I did. I worked construction, but I continued to study. And I remember that when I made a leap in my intellect, I believe this with all my heart, the leap for me at 19 years old in my intellect, so I graduated high school, 2.3 grade point average, I think it was, not very high. And so that's where I developed this thing of saying I'm stupid. I'm stupid. I would say, I still to this day. The other day, I told you last week that Angie would say, stop saying that, right? And I was in the kitchen doing something. I dropped something. I'm like, Derek, you're so stupid. And she goes, ah! I'm like, and she didn't have to use a word. You get what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. And Derek, you're so smart. Hallelujah. I believe that's the way God sees us. But I'll tell you where I made the leap. 19 years old, I started reading the Word of God. In Elizabethan English. Come on, somebody. And I believe God healed my intellect. He allowed me to move forward in ways that I could have never done by myself. And I am just forever grateful and in love with God and His Word because I've seen it impact my life in so many ways. Growing up in family where it's not working and dysfunctional and so many things that broke down constantly and there's no good communication and I don't know how to raise kids. I don't know how to be married. But you know what? God knows something about that. And reading His Word, He healed my emotions in many ways. Still doing it. But I was able to love my wife the way Christ loves the church. Still working on it. Come on, men. Don't leave me alone up here. Able to love my kids and care for my kids in the way that they deserve, and now my grandbabies. I'm just telling you, God's Word will help you. It will shape you in a way that nothing else will, so that what you say and what you do will create life and not death. Amen? So, write this down. Your words are important because with your words, you either say something worthwhile or something that is not worth saying at all. Just remember the lesson from Mama. And know that Proverbs will back you up. 150 verses, 150 times that it's speaking to how you use your tongue, your mouth, your words. Make sure that you spend time in God's Word to help tame your tongue. Amen? Whether you know it or not, there's power of life. And there's power of death within you. Everything you say gives life or death to the hearer. So be a life giver. Be a life giver to people that are in your life. Amen. And I close with this passage of Scripture, James 1:26. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue. You are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. I'm telling you right in that passage to follow Christ, to proclaim, to be related, to be a person of faith, and not control our tongue. It makes everything we say worthless. We don't want the people that are in our life, the people we're sharing Christ with, to hear words that are worthless to them. We want them to hear words of worth, ones that pronounce their worth to God. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we prepare to sing as we go?